Been preaching for 39 years. No sermon has ever bothered me like this one. This sermon is handled better. Every time I thought I had a grip on it, something new came. The sermon has humbled me. Studying so, when I caught a glimpse of the holiness of God, I was humbled. This sermon has humiliated me. When I took my eyes off of God and I looked at myself, I'm humiliated. I am most unworthy to declare the holiness of God. God would be just to strike me dead for even attempting to declare how holy and righteous He is. This subject has hurried me. It has made me anxious to be like Jesus Christ and to see this holy God. This subject has horrified me because I have loved ones who are lost. And one day they're going to stand before this holy God. If God doesn't save them, that holy God will live the part of your curse in everlasting darkness. I never knew. This subject has hungered me. It has given me a desire to know more about God. And the desire to know about God must begin by understanding that God is holy. Every one of us here who have been saved, it all began with God showing us that He was holy, thus showing us that we were sinners who must answer to a holy God. It is my desire tonight that God will do one thing. He'll give us a glimpse.
Amen.
Just a glimpse of how holy God is. It'll change your life. It'll change your family. And it'll change our churches. And it will cause all of us to have a desire, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 5, the occasion of this is King Uzziah has died. He was a good king most of the time, and Isaiah is concerned about what's going to take place. So God says, look here, Isaiah. I want to point you to the true king, and the major attribute of that king is that he is holy. And you understand that that is the major attribute of God. People talk about the love of God, the power of God, all you want to. But God is referred to as holy much more than anything else in the Word of God. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Where else should we see Him? Seated upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of His glory. Now the Jews, in their language as we have, they had ways of emphasizing something. And one of the ways of emphasis was repetition. Here he wants us to understand, never is God referred to as Almighty, Almighty, Almighty. Never is God referred to as love, 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 but He is referred to here in Revelation as holy, holy, holy. May God give us that glimpse. Man's lack of understanding concerning the holiness of God is why there is no fear of God before their eyes. They think God is altogether such a one as Himself. But my friends, He's not. God is holy. I am so unworthy to declare, but may God help us tonight to see the King in His holiness. There are three things I want to notice. Notice the definition of holiness. And secondly, the declarations of holiness. And third, the demands of the holiness of God. First of all, the holiness of God defined it. And it's almost comical for me to even try to define the holiness of God. But we know that the word holiness means set apart. When we are told to be holy, we are commanded to be set apart. And my first thought was that when God is declared to be holy, He's set apart from all of us. From the most godly person we have ever known, God set apart.
Amen.
He is much different than any of us. He is the total
antithesis of sin. Habakkuk 1:13 says, out of pure eyes to behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity. John 1:5 says, this is the message which we have heard of Him, declare to you that God is light, or God is holy. And in Him is no darkness at all. That shows the holiness of God when compared to me. And well, I'll tell you what, we're not up your eyes to behold evil, are we? We look at it. Sometimes deliberately. Sometimes we stare at it. Sometimes we place ourselves in the opportunity to behold evil. And I'll assure you, in this preacher, there's darkness. There's darkness in all of us. And that shows the greatness of the holiness of God. The holiness of God is infinite and absolute purity. Infinite means that it is never changing. There is no beginning of God, but if there was, He was holy. Amen. And He's holy tonight, and He'll always be holy. There'll never be a change. But you know, we change daily in our degree of holiness, don't we? We're always vacillating in our degree of holiness. Absolute means that He is holy in the totality of His being. Yeah. I have weaknesses. What about you? Bible talks about a besetting sin. It wouldn't talk about a besetting sin if it wasn't something we were prone to. But God has no weaknesses. Holiness is not just that He never did wrong, but that everything God ever did was right. Amen. When God sent the flood and destroyed all right. God rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. It was right. And if God did that to us today, it would be right. God told Israel, go in and destroy the nation. And you kill every man and every woman and every child. It was right. Because God's holy. And they were idolatrous people. Holiness is the chief attribute of God. Every other attribute bows down to God's holiness. God is omnipotent. But His omnipotence will never act outside of His holiness.
That's right.
Every attribute that we preach will be preached here. All true, all magnify God. But they all are in subjection to the holiness of God.
That's right.
The love of God bows down. God's holiness. That's why I know that all Christ died for will be in heaven. Because God is holy. Every attribute of God's flawed if it does not bow to God's holiness. Secondly, the holiness of God declared. I can't declare it. But God's Word can.
Yes.
I could spend 35 minutes just reading verses in the Word of God. Do a word study on your own. And notice how many times that God is referred to as holy or righteous or pure. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in every manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy. Why? Because I'm holy. And that's the only thing a holy God can demand is for us to be holy. And I remind you, the Bible says God cannot lie. So when God says He's holy, He's holy. Exodus 15:11, the first psalm that is recorded in the Word of God. After the deliverance of the nation of Israel across the dry land of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army destroyed, and what does that psalm declare? It declares God is glorious in holiness.
Yeah.
That should be our song. Exodus 3. Moses turned to see God. He was told to what? Draw not nigh hither. Draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Why? God is there.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, we need to be more reverent of God's holy ground.
Amen. Amen.
Here tonight, here on God's holy ground.
Amen.
May we reverence God.
Exodus 34 and verse 35, after Moses had been with the Lord, he went down to the children of Israel, and the Bible says his face shone. Why? He had been with the Holy God. Isaiah 43 and verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Revelation 4 and verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not. Right now. Right now up in heaven. This is what they're doing. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. Called Almighty once. Talked about His eternal existence, but three times He says He's holy.
Amen.
Three times. He said, what do the 24 elders do? They bow down and worship. Why? Because God is holy. The next place, the holiness of God is declared by the reaction of men when they are in His presence. Let me give you a couple of Bible examples. What is our text? We find here God is high and lifted up. His train with beauty, His authority. And I personally believe that the train there is also translated Him. And I believe it has a reference to the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter. We find the seraphim fly by. And they just say, hey, look at Him.
Amen.
He's holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
Then you'll turn to know and look at Him. He's holy, holy, holy. When was the last time you called God holy? Last time I think about the old pumpkin. Would not so much as lift up his eyes to God. We were singing that song. I looked up and I immediately felt how unworthy I am to look up at that holy God. I can only look down, but I'm so undeserving of the mercy of that God. Note that at this holiness of God, nature itself was moved at this declaration. What does it say? Nature's the post of the door moved. God's, when the seraphim declared God is holy, nature could not refrain itself. But the doors moved. The house was filled with smoke. But what about Isaiah? Isaiah was a good man of God, wasn't he? We have anybody here that can say, I'm as good as Isaiah. I'm just like him. But Isaiah said, woe is me.
Yeah.
Oh God, show us, woe is me.
Yeah.
For I'm undone. When he saw God, he saw how unworthy he was.
Yeah.
Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Why? Because he understood something. These lips are supposed to be used to declare the holiness of God.
Amen.
And Isaiah said, I failed.
Yeah.
I failed. Have we failed?
Often.
Yeah. He said, I failed. Unclean lips. He was also moved to service. I want you to understand that. Don't get all moved and all emotional. And say, oh, boy, you're right. God is holy. Because what did his vision do? He said, who shall I send? And Isaiah, after he saw God, said, send me. Send me. That comes from a proper view of God's holiness.
Right.
Note Job 42, verse 5 and 6. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see it. They all pray of God. We hear of him. But there's going to come a time when we'll see him.
God.
And we'll fully understand him. What did Job say? Oh, Job was a good man. We know that. God declared him to be a good man. I abhor myself. This world talks about self-esteem and building people up. A vision of God will cause you to abhor yourself.
Yes.
And what did he do? He did what I've been doing, but even now I repent. God forgive me. Habakkuk. After Habakkuk declares God to be mine, the Holy One. First chapter of Habakkuk, he's looking over all of the evil in the world. And then in verse 13, he declares God to be a pure eye. You go to chapter 2, he says, I'm going to sit in my watchtower. And not the Jehovah the Witness watchtower. I'm going to sit in my watchtower and I'm going to see what God will do. Habakkuk 3:16, Habakkuk tells us, when he heard God, what happened to this great man of God? My belly trembled. Belly trembled. He's scared to death. Even saved people sometimes need to be afraid or reverent of God.
Amen. Yes.
His lips quivered. You ever see a young child who knows he's in trouble? Stevie may be doing, that's what Dallas, my grandson, might say. Fear. Because he has seen and heard the holiness of God. What does he say? Rottenness. Rottenness entered into his bones. When he saw God, he saw how rotten we are. I'm a rotten person. I can thank God I'm saved by his grace. I'm rotten. When I view God. Let me move on. The holiness of God was declared creation. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And God is the creator. And I like it, Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good, because he declared the holy handiwork of God.
Amen.
And we've taken that holy creation and we've abused it. And it don't look anything like it looked when that holy God created it. But every time you read Genesis chapter 1, and every time you think about creation, it declares that God is holy. The Sabbath day declares the holiness of God. Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart. He declared it to be holy. And I believe the seventh day had to change to the first day, and I'm not getting into all that. But I believe there is a day reserved for God that he has sanctified it, set it apart for him to be worshipped, and it is a holy day.
Amen.
52 days out of the year, we have the opportunity to come to God's house on the Lord's day and recognize a holy God made this for us.
Amen.
You think about that Sabbath like that.
Amen.
Exodus 20 and verse 8, you want to say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The holiness of God was declared at the flood. I mentioned that. It was declared at Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't care what the world says. And preachers, I'm afraid this may become a point of persecution for us.
Yeah.
There are 2 millionaires who have sued the church because they won't marry them. But they've brought a lawsuit against them. I'm not going to marry them either.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. But God was right. But we're considered to be wrong if we call it an abomination. But God destroyed the city because of it. The holiness of God was declared in the animal sacrifices. When all of animals, they better go undergo this inspection. And they better be without spot. And they better be without blemish. Because those were the only animals that were acceptable to be offered to God. It declared God's holy. As we read, we also made the type of, yeah, they represent Christ. But what kind of Christ? The holy Christ.
Amen.
The virgin birth declares the holiness of God. Like, I don't have time. The law declares the holiness of God. The Bible tells the law is holy and just and good.
Amen.
People can take the Ten Commandments off of me, take them off, they can take them out of courthouses, whatever, but they're still holy.
Amen.
And you read those Ten Commandments, don't just read them as law, but you read them as the holy statement of the character of the God who wrote them.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
The holiness of God declares the sinfulness of man.
Yeah.
One thing this study has taught me, I'm great sinner before God. The old song, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. May God remind us of what we were. And how it required a holy God to save us. When I studied, tried to understand, the days I sit in my study, tears ran down my face. I cannot be more like Jesus. Father, I'm embarrassed. I cannot be more holy and more righteous. I was moved by my great failures to serve in this holy God. It made me sick. Because one thing I continued to think about was my warped priorities.
Amen.
That's it. When we have a vision of God's holiness, our priorities will change.
Yes.
The holiness of God declares He. Not me. It declares He, not she. And it declares He, not thee. That's our priorities. May God give us a glimpse of this holy God that says, make me first. Give me the preeminence in all things because I deserve it.
Yeah.
Amen.
We put so many other things ahead of God. I'll stop there and move on to the demands of God's holiness. The holiness of God is not an empty attribute that we can simply believe. Everybody here, anybody here not believe in the holiness of God? So anybody don't raise your hand. Is there anybody here that doesn't believe in God's holiness? We all believe it. But I'm not much of a believer. When people say they have beliefs, but they don't act on them.
Amen.
People tell me, I don't believe in Christmas and Easter, but I go and they got a tree up. I'm like, maybe they're not telling the truth. I believe in the truth of the Lord's church, and I only go about once a month. No. This doctrine, this attribute, I'm telling you, makes demands on us. I want all of us to assume the responsibility that it puts upon us. First of all, the holiness of God demands reverence from every creature.
Amen.
Red, yellow, black, or white. Rich or poor. You get this. Saved or lost.
You're right.
Doesn't matter. When Teresa King, Shirley and Mike King's daughter was little, they were making a cake. And Teresa messed up and said a bad word. So Shirley takes her back and said, you're going to get us fainting. And Teresa said, well, no, it's not wrong for me because I'm not saved. I don't get us fainting. Didn't work out for that one. I'm going to tell you something. You're here lost. You better reverence God.
Amen.
You're here to save. You better reverence God. His holiness demands it.
Amen.
What does reverence mean? The feeling and or attitude of deep respect with a feeling of awe. People I see, people, LeBron James, he'll make a wow. Those guys, full score touchdown, he'll do a little dance up there. Wow. Tell you what, you better look at God and say, wow.
Amen.
Hey, wow. The perfection of God's holiness demands that our attitude be one of reverence. You do something for me tonight. You fall on your knees. I told our church Wednesday night, this is what they used to do in old prayer meetings. People used to pray. And I'm not saying it's better or worse. But some of you older preachers remember what they used to do in their praying? Get down on their knees before God. When was the last time you were on your knees before God? I'm not saying you can't show reverence without it. We must reverence God. The holiness of God. Well, I have written here, and if I could sing, oh my, if I could sing, I'd break out a song about they fell on their knees and cried, holy.
Yeah.
Holy.
We'll do this.
I fell over God. Fell on my knees. It's the last time you fell on your knees and just declared, God, you're holy. And I'm not. Secondly, the holiness of God demands holy living. Not just reverence to God, it demands the way you live your life. Be ye holy, that's a commandment from God. For I am holy. I hear people, well, I can't live like Jesus. I told somebody that love. Maybe you can't. You do a lot better than what you're doing right now.
Amen.
I know I can't live like Jesus, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't be trying.
And that it shouldn't break my heart when I fail. We fail sometimes, it doesn't matter. Our hearts have become desensitized to sin.
Man.
I don't know, but I may preach from the 51st Psalm. I preached not long ago, and the man in my mirror, David, talked about that contrite, that broken heart. That is a word that means crushed. Our hearts need to be made tenderized. My wife, when she tenderizes me, she takes this big old mallet, steel mallet, beats it. Sometimes God needs to beat our hearts so it's tenderized towards His holiness. The holiness of God demands that we are set apart. Set apart from the world, from Satan, from the flesh. That we are set apart unto Christ and loving Him. The church, the Bible, and prayer. Thirdly, the holiness of God demands chastisement for His elect. Demands it. You better be careful. Be careful how you sin and you don't repent before God. That holy God, He'll give you beaten. David sinned, didn't he? He lived the rest of his life regretting. That baby, him Bathsheba had, God took it. The holiness of God demands death. With a visitor, man, that's later, he's come to church a long time, very, very dear friend of mine. He finally died Wednesday night. I talked to him, I went down about 2 o'clock in the morning, spent all Saturday night with him. I said, Al, doctor said you're going to die. You know why you're going to die? He said, I do, Sam. I'm gonna, and I didn't have this point in here, so I was going to see him. And he said, I'm going to die because I'm a sinner and God's holy. That's right. The holiness of God demands that we die. Because death passed upon all men because of sin. And sin is because we broke the holy law of God. The holiness of God demanded Calvary and the death of Jesus.
Amen.
Why is there a Calvary? Why did He love me so? Why did He to Calvary go? Because He's holy. God loved and elect people. Oh, praise God, He loved and elect people. Chosen in Him, in Christ, from before the foundation of the world. God in His holiness, He wanted to save that elect people. But God's so holy. Don't let anybody ever tell you that God could have done it another way. I like reading Arthur Pink, but just rip it up when he starts telling you that God could have saved you by the blood of bulls and goats, and rip up anybody who says, had God wanted to, He could have just forgiven sin. God can't. He's too holy.
Amen. Amen.
Right. The holiness of God demanded a perfect and a holy substitute for my sin.
Amen.
My sins, He demanded. Sam, you're going to go to heaven. You won't have to have somebody take your place in hell.
Yes.
Praise God, Jesus was holy.
Amen.
And he took my sins. The Bible in Isaiah, literally translated, caused Him to fall on Him. God the Father took my sins and put them on that perfect Lord Jesus Christ. In that 3 hours of darkness, He sent him to hell. Let me tell you something, I believe. I believe that when Christ was suffering on that cross, the old seraphim were singing, wow, holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
You know, 3 hours of darkness, when He was suffering the wrath of God, they were playing, holy, holy, holy art thou, because they understood, man, He's saving lost sinners.
Amen.
He must be holy. Oh, dear saints of God, should we take the knife of sin, clutch it to our bosom like it's some good thing, knowing that it was my knife that's plunged into the Lamb of God.
Amen.
To pay for my sin.
Yeah.
Oh, may God help us love Him more.
Yeah.
He had to be holy to take my place.
Yes.
May God help us to hate and deplore sin. And then holiness of God, listen to me, demands hell.
Yes.
For sinners who die without Christ.
Right. Amen. Listen to me.
Oh, if you're here tonight, listen to me. Rid your mind of everything else. Don't think about your boyfriend or girlfriend or your child or sport or food. Get rid of all of those thoughts and understand something. God will send you to hell.
He will.
God punishes those who die without Christ in a burning, flaming, eternal hell because He's holy.
He's got wrath.
That wrath of God will spring forth like a lion and cast you into hell because He's holy.
I don't want you to throw this off the place. I tell you, if I get on my knees and beg you to repent, it would help, I would. I could give you $100, I would. God's got to touch your heart. God's got to show you that you're a sinner before this holy God. He will send you to a place of fire and brimstone where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I was a young boy in the hospital. Boy beside me had been badly burnt. I was in there for a kidney disorder. All night long, I would hear screams from that young boy. I mean screams of terror. I was shivering my bed at the blood-curdling screams coming from that burn victim. I'm telling you, it frightened me to death. But that's going to be you in hell.
Amen.
Except you repent and trust in Jesus. I point you to the holy God. I say, you don't want to go to this place. I want to go to this place. God's holy. Don't be wrapped up in this world's ideology of who God is. He loves everybody, such a one as thyself, and He won't hurt anybody. Oh, may God spare you standing before that great white throne and looking there into the face of the Lamb of God. And saying, depart. You cursed him. Everlasting darkness. I never knew. That horrifies me. Oh, and I think about my two children are lost. I think I feel scared before God. That holy God, and I'm so helpless.
Amen.
But God's not.
Amen.
The only God that saved me can save him. Lord, may the holiness of God strike fear in your heart. Fear is beginning now. Ain't nobody here. Anybody here been saved and didn't fear God? I did. See God. Oh, lost Tennessee, God. In His holiness, see self in your sin. And then may God point you to the Savior. May He point you to that holy Savior. May God grant you repentance and faith. Oh, how precious is faith. Faith is the victory. And overcome the world that was given to me by Holy God. Well, I have you touched on this subject. My friends, may God give you a glimpse. Just give us a glimpse. Don't go to bed tonight without taking a glimpse of the holiness of our God. May we live righteous before Him. Lost sinners, may you come to know Him. May we in our day-to-day life recognize and honor holy, holy, holy. I tell the Lord God Almighty. God bless the message to you all.
Amen. Amen.